welcome to The Motion Show. Hello, I'm Phil Hammond, and this is The Motion Show, where the finest minds of a generation pit their wits in a thrilling battle of words. So a sort of radio version of Blind Date. We're very pleased to welcome back Stuart McConey and Steve Punt, and tonight they're joined by our Motion Show virgins, Chris Neal and Linda Smith. Ladies and gentlemen, the speakers! Before we charge headlong into the main debates, I'd like to find out what our speakers' fantasy motions would be. Steve, what's your dream motion this week?
Well, my dream motion would be this house would ban vegetarians from using terms derived from meat-based food. Right? They should really have to think of their own word for sausage, and I would suggest possibly non-meat-based nutritional cylinders.
Chris, what reaches your parts that other fantasy motions can't reach?
Well, it's a bit topical, I suppose. But I'd quite like to advocate this house would send the Conservative peer, Baroness Young, on a wild woman weekend. And if it didn't send her there, I'd quite like it to send her to a remote Scottish island with just Peter Tatchell for company. And then we could be rid of both of them.
Thank you. And Stuart, what's been triggering your hind brain this week?
Well, my fancy motion would be this house waits expectantly for the day that the Radio Times runs that misprint of Ainsley's Big Cookout.
Yes, thank you. On that lengthy note, it's it's time to move on to our first motion. This house wants to be famous. Mr. McConey, would you please take centre stage and propose the motion, this house wants to be famous. Panelists, please remember, feel free to interrupt and generally throw people off their stride.
Thank you. In the future, said Andy Warhol, everyone will travel by hover jetpack and have robot servants and live on Saturn. Andy Warhol was very good at painting soup cans, but he was rubbish at predicting the future. But as you may know, he also said, in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. Though in the case of Peter Andre, of course, it was nothing like that long. Peter Andre, by the way, was that bloke with the crap songs, who kept taking his shirt off to reveal his washboard stomach before that position fell vacant and became occupied by Adam Ricketts. If you don't know who any of these people are, then you are A, lucky, and B, probably not bothered about the nature of fame. But this house is. This house wants to be famous with every fibre of its tragically shallow being. It is prepared to attend some stupid stage school with self-absorbed brats, to support Chelsea, and even to perform in a humorous skit on children in need. And don't tell me about the transient nature of fame either, Andy Warhol. This house doesn't care. After all, some of the best things in life are transient. Fine wines, the pleasures of the flesh, a late Beethoven string quartet.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. McConey has already used the word transient and several words of more than three syllables, and I would guess that disqualifies him for fame in any modern context.
Oh, well. Well, I do take your point, but my point was, Mr. Punt, that you see transients, that there's very few things in life that can't be improved by being shorter, as regular listeners to you and yours will acknowledge. This house is also jealous because people become famous for all manner of things that this house could very easily do. Charlie Dimmock, famous for not wearing a bra. Well, this house doesn't wear a bra either, except for that time on New Year's Eve, and that doesn't count. Eddie the Eagle Edwards is famous for not being able to ski jump. This house has never tried, but feels that it probably can't ski jump either. Gary Bushell is famous for... No, I'm sorry, it's gone. Stalkers, I hear you say, Linda. Well, now I'm going to press on. Stalkers, the curse of the famous person. Well, non-famous people have stalkers too. The Dole, the Inland Revenue, those spotty 12-year-olds who come to your door and say they know it's the last thing on your mind right now, Squire, but we're willing to offer you a quotation on you PVC windows. Life is all about shaking off undesirables.
A point of information.
Yes, Ms. Smith.
There's also the problem of paparazzi. The terrible nightmare of the paparazzi. Sometimes they don't turn up, even if your personal assistant has phoned them several times.
Well, no, paparazzi wouldn't bother me, Linda. I'm saying, undesirables haunt everyone from every walk of life. The advantage is, if you're famous, you can shake them off in a 7 Series BMW with tinted bulletproof glass and optional sidewinder heat-seeking missiles. So, this house wants to lash out at photographers at Heathrow Airport, to be tired and emotional on chat shows, to spend its life waiting to be recognised, then complain and start wearing dark glasses when it does. This house wants to attend charity auctions and be seen sharing a joke with minor members of the cast of Emmerdale. This house wants to be a close personal friend of Peter Stringfellow and Piers Morgan, and is going to sit down now before it changes its mind.
Thank you very much. Stuart McConey. Linda, it's your turn to oppose. Please step reluctantly into the limelight and reject the motion. This house wants to be famous.
Now, the trouble with fame, really, is the famous. In the past, famous people were Humphrey Bogart, Marilyn Monroe, Einstein, tip-top people. But nowadays, any useless, bland, human air freshener of a presenter who's a close personal showbiz chum of Christopher Biggins and Wincy Willis...
Steady.
No names, no pack drill. ..is a celebrity. Now, it's actually hard work these days not being a celebrity. You've really got to go out of your way not to be on the telly. You could be, say, an unassuming chicken sexer living in rural Norfolk, and then, you know, you're pursued by a docu-soap team, and one series later, you're Doreen, the nation's favourite chicken sexer, and presenter of Cops and Chicks, the hilarious chicken dating show. Once people are famous, they have to have demons. They can't just be happy and famous and have loads of money and be famous. They've got to be pursued by demons, drugs, alcohol, cough mixture, something. And that means they have to check into the Priory for a weekend to be cured of their demons at enormous expense. Now, there's a show I would like to see, Pro-Celebrity Rehab. And then they have to write a book about, oh, my expectorant hell. How I went through a fortune chasing that elusive final productive cough. And then... then, of course, once they've gone through that hell, they have to have kids. They have children, and they give their children ludicrous names, like Geldof.
Point
Gallagher.
Order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Chris, what's your point?
I was wondering if... Linda could tell us when that's going to happen to Dale Winton.
Celebrities fall prey to any kind of bogus belief system that's going. Mostly Scientology. So many of them are Scientologists. How on earth can the secret of the world be known by someone called Ron Hubbard? You don't make yourself sound any better by calling yourself L. Ron Hubbard either. You're still a bloke called Ron and you know nothing. And the worst of all, celebrities feel they've got to harass Nelson Mandela. They've all got to get him a seat. The poor man suffered enough. He does not want the famous celebrity braless gardener... Alan Titchmarsh coming and wrecking his garden. Then, of course, the worst thing that happens with celebrities is ageing. For other people, normal people, you get old, that's how it goes. That's life. That's just nature. But for celebrities, they can't grow old. So they either go in two routes. They go in the sort of sun-dried celebrity route, what we might call that sort of George Hamilton, Lionel Blair look, where they look like elaborately coiffured scrotums. That's one route. Then, of course, there is the other, even scarier route, which is the Joan Rivers route. It's the massive, massive cosmetic surgery route. They go down that road, and frankly, they end up looking like a Siamese cat walking into a strong gale. And it's scary, and I don't want to see it. So this house opposes the motion. This house wants to be famous.
Thank you. Linda Smith. Chris, do you want to be even more famous than you are, appearing on the show?
Well, yes. Living a very lonely life, as I do. The prospect of a stalker, lovely. Nicer. Knowing that there's someone there outside my front door of a morn, drag them in. Cup of tea, coffee, what's your fancy? I wouldn't mind at all. Not at all. I don't know what people complain about.
Yes, thank you. Steve, you're as close as this panel has to a household name. You've been stalked?
Well, you see, stalking, I think, is an intriguing crime because it's very, very recent. You never heard of stalkers until about 5 years ago. They were just sort of loonies, and now they're always called stalkers. And this presumably was because we did, for a long time, have a chief constable called John Stalker. So it would have been a bit tricky having a crime where one of our leading policemen was, which is still a problem for Tony Murderer, in West Lothian, and Chief Superintendent Richard Large-Scale Forgery of the Met.
Right, let's settle this issue once and for all. Studio audience, get your voting gear ready. All those in favour of the motion, this house wants to be famous, say aye.
Aye.
And your name, sir? All those against, say nay.
Nay.
A resounding success for Linda Smith. Let's move on to the next motion. This House prefers to stay at home than go out. Steve the Hermit punts, if I can tempt you out of your shell, and up to the lectern to propose the motion. This House prefers to stay home than go out.
We all know what home is, ladies and gentlemen. Home is where the heart is. There's no place like home. It's home, sweet home. And, of course, you can buy a new Barrett's home for just £99 deposit. Sorry, slip that in. I just, such a great offer, I just had to share it with you. Instead, of course, an Englishman's home is his castle, although that's rather out of date. Obviously, most Englishmen nowadays are rather more boring than that. I'd say an Englishman's home is, of course, a very sound investment, honestly, around this area. 15% in the last 6 months, fantastic. Shut up! Just shut up, it's so boring. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, we are constantly bombarded in the media, in the press, newspapers and magazines. Go out, enjoy yourself, go out. Don't stay at home, don't just stay at home. Why? Why is this? Well, the answer is very simple. Obviously, when you go out, that's when people can make money out of you. Where are you going to go? Well, maybe you're going to go to the pub. Now, why bother going to the pub, ladies and gentlemen? Because you can very easily recreate the atmosphere of a pub in your own home. All you have to do is go to the off-licence, insist on paying twice as much as you would normally for the drinks, take them home, put on a CD that you really hate, but very loudly, and then invite a load of strangers in to jostle you and wet the floor of your toilet. To then really add the authentic pub atmosphere, make sure the drinks are served by an Australian who can't add, and then make sure someone brings a slightly smelly dog that will keep sniffing around your feet all evening. Most of the things you can eat out nowadays, you can order in and eat them at home. And you don't, frankly, lose out by doing this. Take curry, for example. It was just a quote, a personal favourite of mine. You can order curry at home, and it's just as nice. All you're going to miss out on is the noisy table of drunks by the window, the couple splitting up over a korma in the corner. Completely unintentional and very poor rhyme there. I'm sorry about that. And, of course, the main thing that you will miss out on if you eat your curry at home is the music tape. Which is, of course, played simultaneously. It goes out simultaneously to all Indian restaurants in Britain.
Because the psychological link is there, isn't it? Indian music, for a lot of English people, immediately makes them hungry, doesn't it? I went to see Ravi Shankar once at the Royal Festival Hall, and he was barely audible above the audience's stomach, rumbling.
Also, of course, if you eat out, ladies and gentlemen, you will be made to feel inferior if you only order the house wine. This is something you can avoid at home. If you order the house wine out, the waiter will look at you as if you're sitting there rattling a paper cup.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Neil.
Well, I mean, if you're in an Indian restaurant and you order the house wine, you're pretty bloody classy, really.
Not that you can drink anyway if you go out, not if you're going to have to drive. In that case, you have to get a taxi home, a life-threatening experience in which you'll be charged 10 times the bus fare by a man who, judging by his conversation, is a big mate of York Hyder. Sadly, without York Hyder's firm sense of where he wants to go in life. And best of all, ladies and gentlemen, if you order your curry at home, if you order far too much, you can just put the lid on, put it in the fridge. I rest my case.
Thank you very much. See you, Pat.
If you refuse to leave home, you may be agoraphobic, and if you refuse to leave your closet, you may be a gay agoraphobic, in which case the Kilroy programme would like to hear from you. Chris Neil, I call on you to reject the motion. This House prefers to stay at home than go out.
Ladies and gentlemen, people who've come in out of the cold, boys and girls and others, I call upon you now to form your moist pink lips into a definite no. The sad little proposal put before this house. This house prefers to stay at home than go out. Tush. What shameless folly that would be. From where I'm speaking to you now, I can almost hear the hubbub. Well, it's certainly louder out there than it is in here. Of one of the most vibrant, thrilling and exciting cities this vast, watery world has to offer. Out there, people are enjoying some of the finest theatre and opera in the world. Eating in restaurants of international renown.
Point of information.
Yes, Miss Smith.
Yeah, the thing is, though, even the best opera in the world is rubbish, isn't it?
You're common, Linda. That's Smith. Right. Face it. Face it, girl. Anyway,
all right,
if you don't like opera, you can go to installations. And in this town, the craziest, yes, I said craziest, bar and club scene this side of Littlehampton. It's mad. Out there in London, people can meet each other, fall in love as they pass under crystal clear skies and walk on some of the most beautiful beaches in the world. They can be in Sorry, did someone say something? She doesn't... She's disagreeing. Why? You've never been to a leisure centre. They're gorgeous. You can be enthralled by street entertainment of a calibre that rivals Rio at carnival time. Did you know that in London alone, there are more unemployed actors dressed as Charlie Chaplin spraying themselves silver, standing stock still for hours at a time, if necessary, than there are grandmothers in France?
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Punn.
This contention that London street entertainment is on a par with Rio at carnival time. Whenever I've seen Rio Carnival on television, I've yet to see two men dressed as cats playing part-time lover on a trumpet. to a small Sanyo beatbox accompaniment.
I would say that this country is reborn. It is alive. It is new. You must get out, put your party trunks on and jump in at the deep end.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
The Speaker's turning into John Major at an alarming rate.
Home, as the pontificating pious puff of wind described it, is where the heart isn't. Well, mine isn't. Mine is in one hell of a chest cavity, and a chest cavity that likes to party. But, to be fair, I haven't always been this exuberant, hell-raising chick tease that you see before you now.
Thank God for that.
There was a time. I once did believe that the heart can be in the home. Thanks. Especially if you share the pad with the one you love. But I live alone, and surprised though you may be by that fact, I am proud, very proud, to be part of an increasing minority of people, independent and strong enough not to have met anyone who wants to live with them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, be brave. Try it. If you're thinking of staying at home, well, you want to get out more. I ask you to reject this motion. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Chris Neil. Before the advent of television, people would stay at home and make their own entertainment using a second-hand piano and an old dressing-up box. So pretty much like Channel 5 does today. Stuart, are you in or out?
For me, it's the hassle, you know, vomit everywhere and random acts of violence and, you know, beggars and criminals.
Where do you live?
Well, I'd rather go out, you know, than have to go out. I'm all for going out, yeah.
Time for a vote. As always, it's been a closely matched contest which will settle by a bout of shouting. All those in favour of the motion, this House prefers to stay in rather than go out, say aye.
Aye.
All those against, say nay.
Nay.
And the most persuasive speaker is Chris Neil. Our next motion is this House prefers all things European. Linda Smith, you're our resident Europhile this evening. I call on you to propose the motion. This House prefers all things European.
This House prefers all things European. There are so many ways in which Europe is superior to Britain. The first one is, in Europe, in France particularly, they really know how to go on strike. They go mad. They absolutely... Even the bosses go on strike in Europe. Everybody's out. The fishermen, for example. Our fishermen, equally beleaguered, but, you know, they're very Ham, Peggotty, Little M, you know, a Dickensian picture of quiet forbearance. The French fishermen, they're out there stopping the whole of Europe from moving ahead with its work. They're out there holding monkfish hostage, saying, if we don't get our demands, the fish gets it. It's a wonderful world of industrial disputes, whereas in Britain, you know, they say... All the unions go, oh, well, we want a minimum wage. How much should it be? Well, I don't know. What can you manage? You can see your way clear to, really. Oh, threepence, that'll do us. We know our place. The second good thing about Europe is the Nazis. Because... No, really, because European
Point
Nazis...
Of information. Well, somebody's got to, haven't they? I've got to jump in.
Yes, you carry on, Linda, in your own time.
I'll carry on. The Nazis, because in Europe... The Nazis are very easy to spot because they usually are elected to very high office in German-speaking nations. And they say things like, I'll tell you who's good, that Adolf Hitler. So they're quite easy to spot. You can pick them out and you can take the appropriate action. The English right wings, they also say things like, well, I do feel sorry for the asylum seekers, but if anyone move in round here, then I will mow them down on my ride-on mower. Another thing in Europe that's better is children. In Europe, it actually isn't a crime to be under the age of 10, which it appears to be in this country. If you've ever, you know, people, children are welcome to restaurants in Europe, especially in Italy. And you know, it's all
point
very jolly and
so, yes, Mr. McCain.
Isn't this supposed to be that Europe's a good thing, though, for this? I've lost it somewhere.
Yes, could be taken either way, that one, Miss Smith.
It was a little point of information there from the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I was once with some friends who had a little kid, and we tried to get into a restaurant, and the woman didn't want to say, "We just don't want that child in here." Yeah. So she came up with this flimsy reason. She went, "No, we can't have the little boy here because we have a minimum charge." So we assured her that he would, in fact, order a very expensive bottle of wine. The cultural heights, the Renaissance splendours of Italy, the beauties of rural France.
She's lucky no one mentioned Luxembourg.
Of course, there's the Benelux, which sounds like cough mixture, doesn't it? So I beg to propose the motion, with, of course, the exception of Austria.
Ladies and gentlemen, Linda Smith. Steve. You're our resident Europhobic tonight, as in every night. I call on you to oppose the motion. This House prefers all things European.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It only remains for me to destroy the rest of Europe, that, apart from Austria. But I would like to start magnanimously, despite everything, because, of course, I agree with Linda that, of course, we have taken many wonderful things from Europe. Over the centuries, we have cherry-picked the finest things from European culture, the things that we want, the things that we would like to have in this country, whatever they may be, whether they be German cars, French food, Italian clothes, or, of course, Gibraltar. And, however, the point is, we have these things already. We've been over there, we've got the things we want, we don't necessarily want any more. I would like to take you through one or two of the European countries with which we are being asked to join, just to have a look at just what we are up against here. I'd like to start with Germany. My feelings about Germany are highly coloured by my experience at school, where they made me try and learn the German language. To do this, they gave me this book. It's called Sprich mal Deutsch. I'd just like to read you a couple of sentences from page 61 of this book. Hans ist nass. Bist du nass, Hans? Ja, natürlich bin ich nass. Ich stehe unter einem Wasserfall. Translated, Hans is wet. Are you wet, Hans? Yes, naturally I am wet. I am standing under a waterfall. Ladies and gentlemen, I put it to you.
There's a ruthless Teuton logic to that. I mean, I don't see why everyone's laughing.
Well, I would like to move on to France, Mr. Chairman, and... again, a little illustration as to the French mindset as opposed to our native British mindset. Here in Britain, you may pass lots of gates, doors, where you will see a sign that says, "Beware of the dog." Clear, simple, there is danger present from some sort of canine. In France, you will pass similar doors and gates and you will see a sign that says, "Attention, chien méchant," which means, "Look out, naughty dog." This indicates to me, ladies and gentlemen, that French burglars are so rubbish that they are put off from their burgling activities by the thought that they may encounter a naughty dog. Possibly they're worried that they may be carrying a heavy video recorder or some sort of stolen goods, and they may trip over the toilet roll that is moving past their feet. Then we move a little further south, we get to Italy. Now, there's an old joke in Italy. How many light bulbs does it take to change a president? The answer, of course, is only one if he bought it from his brother-in-law's company with money laundered by the mafia. We then move a little bit further north into Austria.
Oh,
which
point
I think
of information.
Discussed.
Well, we're
Gott
on
in
the
Himmel,
subject.
Wenn bis du mit die Austrian season.
I'm not going to say anything about Austria. Austria is a marvellous place. Vienna, beautiful old city. They will even goose step in 3-4 time, ladies and gentlemen. Luxembourg, Mr. Neil said no one had mentioned Luxembourg. Luxembourg is, of course, not really, I don't really count that as a country. It's just a place to set up a business or put your money. It is, in fact, the sort of geopolitical equivalent of a mail drop. Then there's Holland, a country whose main claim to fame is that in Holland you can buy marijuana in a cafe. But this won't last, as in the whole of the rest of Europe, of course, these cafes will all be bought up by American chains. As you go around Amsterdam, you'll have to go into Star Puffs. No, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, as Churchill rightly said, we are with Europe, but not of it. And I refer you, finally, to the ultimate indication of our difference from Europe, the Eurovision Song Contest. Think only on that, ladies and gentlemen, and I urge you to reject this motion. Thank you
very much, Mr. Stieffer. You can now travel from London to Paris in the time it takes to read a newspaper, and David Beckham can travel from London to Sydney. Any other comments?
No, I'd rather. I think we should. I'm all for the balkanisation of the Northwest. I don't much like people from Rochdale.
Thanks for sharing that. Time to put this motion to the studio audience. All those in favour of the motion, this House prefers all things European, say jawohl. Okay, say ja.
Ja.
All those against, say nay.
Nay.
A resounding success for Steve Punt. But that's not it yet. It's time for our full frontal compressed fun size round where speakers can give only one line for and against a motion. Please pucker up. Get a point if you get a laugh. If you don't, we edit it out. And it's embarrassing. This House believes that talk is cheap.
It is if you're a budgie.
Thank you. This House believes that a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Although the one I have of you in the stockings is worth a lot more than that.
The picture was worth 1,000 words when the Hang Seng opened, but when they had a run on the word since then.
Moving on, this House believes that a fool and his money are soon parted.
He is hoping, David Beckham.
I can't believe that Dr. Phil Hammond really believes that, and if he does, he should read my book, Believe in Yourself, 10 Giant Steps to Greater Financial Confidence. Only £12.99, mail order only.
And once you've read that book, could I interest you, anyone out there, in a lifetime share opportunity?
This House believes that travel broadens the mind.
Unless you're going by Midland Main Line and end up in Loughborough.
Of course, yes, travel broadens the mind. Well, the Nazis were very narrow-minded and they travelled extensively throughout Europe, didn't they?
It's time for me to nominate a winner using a specially tinned fat-free BBC panel show formula, and I declare that this week's winner is Chris Neal! Thanks also to our worthy losers, and thanks to our studio audience for not nibbling the soft furnishings. Most importantly, thanks to the listening public for the use of their ears. Thank you very much. Good night! The Motion Show was hosted by me, Dr. Phil Hammond. Yes, I'm still practicing. I was joined by Steve Punt, Chris Neal, Linda Smith and Stuart McConey. The executive producer was Bill Dare. The programme associates were Simon Blackwell and Jimmy Carr. The producer was Adam Bromley, who was helped by Magic Bob and his Gay Boy Dragon Show.